Freddie, great to talk to you. Thanks so much for doing this.
Oh, my pleasure. Glad to do it, my friend. Been looking forward to it all day.
Let's go around the world of sports, as you always do on your show every night here on 102.5 The Game, and as you've been on basically every single talk show on ESPN over the last couple of weeks, as your colleagues have taken off. What's it like being on the big TV morning shows and every radio show over the course of like 9 days?
Yeah, it's been a blast, because anytime you get a chance to have those opportunities come your way, you don't turn them down. And even though our show does really well at night with what Ian Fitzsimmons and I do, when you get a chance to be a part of a different day part and talk to a different audience, you can't even imagine how much of that will draw people to your show. And even if you draw one more person to your show than before, that always is going to work well. So anytime an opportunity like that comes up, whether it's First Take, whether it's Keyshawn, Jaylen and Max, Canty and Carlin, Bart and Han, I'm always going to try to make sure I'm available and have a lot of fun doing what we do at night as well.
I saw earlier today you guys were lining all your producers and staffers up in nice suits for some sort of competition. How did that go, and what was that?
Well, put it this way, Jay Williams, he's the one that put it out there last night on Twitter on his handle that he is looking for a new executive assistant. And James Steele, who's producing today, he called me last night when me and my wife Denise were out driving around and said, this is what we're going to do. We're all going to show up in shirts and ties, but not let them know exactly what's going to happen. But the minute that the show kicks off at 6 a.m. Eastern time, we're going to apply for the job being the executive assistants and hand them the resumes. And it just kept getting funnier and funnier and funnier, because Jay Will played right into it. And he said, okay. And he started posting the resumes online, and people had a chance to see that. And they were doing different things. For example, Alan Yates was rubbing his shoulders throughout the show. James Steele, he comes in, he's fanning him. Pat Costello brought him coffee. It just got something that was very minute that he put on Twitter.
Oh,
and it turned
God.
One of the funniest things we've done and I've been a part of in a long, long time.
Well, wasn't one of their resume submissions that they secretly didn't like Duke, or they didn't like Coach K, and they didn't want Jay Will to know?
Well, no, it wasn't anything like that. Pat Costello put as part of his resume that he's going to bring the intensity to the job, just like Coach K did as the head coach of Duke.
And it was pro Coach K.
Absolutely. Okay, it was definitely pro Coach K. And it showed a picture of Coach K where he's looking at the mean face and he's hunched over and egging his team on. And he used that as part of his resume.
Freddie Coleman is our guest from ESPN Radio. You hear his show most nights, 8 p.m. to midnight here on 102.5 The Game, but you won't today because he was up at 3 in the morning for the early show. So you mentioned your wife, Freddie, and I've always wanted to ask you this because, as you said, you pop on so many different shows. Your normal schedule is you host a show that goes till 1 a.m. in the time zone you live in the Eastern time zone. Does your wife know your schedule? Like, does she just expect you to never be home?
Well, I don't know about never being home, but I'm sure, believe me, I'm sure when I'm not home, she probably thinks, good, get him away from me. I need a break from this guy once in a while. But she is really, really good at making sure that when the schedule comes out and I have a chance to do that, that she has that as well. So she gets a pretty good idea of how she can change our schedule and make that work for us, whether it comes to dinner time or anything else that we're going to do. So she's really, really good at making sure that I'm on the right track, no matter what day part, what show that I have a chance to do, whether it's early in the morning or the regular that I usually do Monday through Friday with Ian Fitzsimmons from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern time.
Okay, that's good to hear, because I'm in my 20s and very much unmarried, but also have a lot of night work and stuff like that, and it changes all the time. So you're my new marriage advice role model whenever I get there. So
the best thing about that is communication. I tell people all the time, if there's no communication, believe me, you're going to have a lot more problems than you could have ever imagined if you don't communicate with your partner.
You mentioned, Freddie, that one of the shows you were on over the last week was First Take, and you were sitting there at the desk when NBA reporter Brian Windhorst went on this now famous, I was about to say rant, but that is so not the right word. He kind of floated around all five corners of his brain while depicting a possible trade that pretty much came true. What was going through your head while you were sitting across the table?
He was really terrific, because we didn't know that he was going to do that, because we had pretty much made a Kevin Durant-centric that he asked for a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. But Wendy is so connected with so many different executives and players and coaches in the NBA that he has a great sense of what could potentially happen and why something jumps out that would have been completely, completely innocuous to everybody else. He was like, why would they make that trade? So the minute that way he set it up and he built the sense of urgency, he built the drama aspect, and he had me, Courtney, and Christine leaning in to what he was going to say. And then when he hit us with that, all of a sudden we were thinking, yeah, why would they do that? And mere hours later, that whole colossal trade happened where Rudy Gobert goes to Minnesota and 5 players and 4 draft picks go the other way to the Utah Jazz. That is one of those memes that will live on, that no matter what the situation is, you can use that meme, use that GIF, and everybody will say, oh, yeah, and revert back to that day that we were sitting at the desk when Brian Windhorst had that stage and completely delivered and knocked it out.
And is it good or bad that when I watched the clip for the first time, he was the only person even talking in the edited version of it I saw, but the first thing that went through my head is, oh, Freddie was hosting today because I saw you.
There's nothing wrong with that, because if you can bring that correlation, I'm not going to be mad at you when you do something like that. And that's the power of first take as well. I tell people all the time, I'm always amazed at the power of that program, whether Stephen A. Smith is on there or who he's debating with. Chris Russo does a great job being on each and every Wednesday. I'm always amazed at the power of that show and the reach that it has, that so many people will continue to talk about certain things that somebody mentioned, whether they agree or disagree with what they had to say. I'm always amazed by the tentacles that show continues to have each and every week.
That's a good way to describe it. We're talking to Freddie Coleman from ESPN Radio, and I didn't even want this whole interview to be just about you, Freddie, and about your shows, but you do so much, you do it well, and you do it with a lot of interesting people. So I wanted to ask you about your regular nighttime co-host, Ian Fitzsimmons, on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, which we air here on 102.5 The Game when we're not playing a Preds game or something like that on weeknights. Right. And he's such a football guy. He's such a college football guy, and he's really, really good at the sideline reporting he does for ESPN Radio College Football, too. And his brother, Devin, was Vanderbilt's special teams coach for a few years. He's no longer here, but was here for a few years and was the special teams coach when Sarah Fuller joined the Vanderbilt football team and was responsible for teaching her how to kick a football. And you guys had him on, I believe, the week after she played in her first game, and it was a great interview.
Sure,
but the best part about that interview to me, and this is the perfect way to sum up Ian Fitzsimmons, who I've never met before, but he referred to his brother as Coach Fitz. He did not call him Devin, which is his first name. He is such a football guy that he called him Coach Fitz. Is this how he actually addresses his brother? Because I love it.
Oh, believe me, and we've had a chance to have his brother on more than a couple of times, and he never addresses him by his first name. And a big part of that is that his mother will tell him that if you ever call your brother by his first name, you're interviewing him, there's going to be problems in the Fitzsimmons household. And it shows the love and respect that both have for each other's profession, because it can't be easy where you have one brother working in the media and another brother working in the coaching profession, especially when it comes to being a part of a National Football League team. So I'm sure they have interesting behind-the-scenes conversations that we'll never be party to, that they probably talk about when dealing with each other and crossing those kind of paths. But it's really cool that you have a chance to have a co-host like that, who has somebody working in a profession that we cover so much when it comes to football. And sometimes the best stories are the ones that never make the air, that some things that Devin will share and let us know. So it's always having a cool dynamic that those two really love and respect each other, that they don't mind sharing information, but they also know that the information that they share goes not beyond anybody in that room. That's a cool aspect of having somebody that I work with, having somebody that he's related to being a part of something like that in the NFL.
Freddie Coleman's our guest from ESPN Radio. You've also hosted many of those shows with our buddy Teron Davenport, who works out of this station quite a bit. I think the ESPN Radio assigners have done a really good job picking out fill-in hosts from the NFL Nation crew. And it's never just football with Teron and those other fill-in hosts, because they can talk about any sport. But what's it like for you to get to know Teron? And as you host these shows with him, you're not in the same place. You're at ESPN HQ. He's actually usually in the room I'm in right now here at ESPN Radio Nashville. What's it like getting to know him and the other NFL Nation reporters and going deep with them on their teams, but also talking other sports with them?
It has really been a wonderful blessing to see how they've continued to grow, because they've committed to radio, and it could have been very easy for them to say, yeah, I want to do radio, and not put the time and work and effort into it. But they've all been able to do that, whether it's been him or Courtney Cronin or Amber Wilson. They don't just look at it as something that, yeah, it's fun, and I don't have to do any homework, I don't have to do any preparation. they're always well prepared and they're always willing to ask questions. And we're always there to make sure that if we don't have the answers to make them better, we're going to find somebody that's going to help them along that path. So it's been wonderful seeing Teron Davenport having a chance to get more and more of a sunshine that's going to surround his career, because he has great depth of knowledge, not just of the Tennessee Titans and also the NFL, but his college football expertise is really good, and his basketball expertise is really good. And he continues to learn about other things that he doesn't know, and he's willing to be a sponge when it comes to those things. So it's really cool to see somebody that when he first came on the scene and we had him filling in, and he even said, I'm going to struggle a little bit, but I'm going to continue to work at it, to see where he was then to where he is now. To use the cliche, it is literally night and day what he has been able to do. Yeah. And how he's not just a guy that does NFL Nation or a fill-in host. He's a reliable part of what we do in ESPN Radio, whether it's on the weekends we have a chance to do that, covering the Tennessee Titans for ESPN NFL Nation, or having a chance to fill in during the week, whether it's with me or Sarah Spain or anybody else.
Yeah, he's the best. We're lucky to have him on our station a ton, running his podcast out of here. You guys are lucky to have him too. And the thing I really want to do with Teron, and I've told him this, and we almost made it happen on a high school game last year, I want to do play-by-play with him doing color for some level of football game. That would be fun.
Oh, it would be a lot of fun, because both of you guys understand exactly what high school football means.
Yeah.
And not just in the state of Tennessee, but definitely the Nashville area, because that's become a pretty fertile ground when it comes to recruiting. So having a chance to potentially see future stars in college football, maybe the NFL, and being at the beginning of that, that would be a cool experience. You guys have a chance to do something like that, because I know you'd have a blast. You'd be good at it. And I have no doubt that Teron Davenport will follow your lead and be the same way.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And the Nashville area has boomed as a football prospect haven over the last 5-10 years, which has been cool to witness the most recent part of that firsthand. So, all right, we've talked about, I mean, every single niche of your job. We could go for hours on that, but you always have something to say. You and Ian do, or whoever else you guys are with, always kind of go around the whole sports world. I mean, you guys will cover all the big four in a night between 8 and midnight and do a great job of that. So the big story of the day, and you haven't been on air anywhere since this happened, and I assume you're not on the show tonight, so this is the first Freddie Coleman take on the Baker Mayfield to Carolina trade. You got any strong thoughts on it, Freddie?
Well, about time, number one, because you're the Carolina Panthers. You did the right thing by making sure that the majority of that contract was going to be paid by the Cleveland Browns, because there's no way you could make that work in what could potentially be Matt Rhule's last year and have Sam Darnold as your quarterback. That was not going to fly with your team, and that was not going to fly with your fan base. But now, in my opinion, you may have the most motivated quarterback in the National Football League with Baker Mayfield, the Carolina Panthers, because he wants to show people that he was worthy of being the overall number one draft pick by Cleveland. Number two, he wants to show the Cleveland Browns made a mistake by choosing the quote-unquote adult in the room when it comes to Deshaun Watson over him. And number three, he's playing for a payday. This is the final year of his contract. He has a chance that if he goes out there in a division where he gets a chance to play Tom Brady twice a year at Tampa Bay this year, he gets a chance to play Jameis Winston and the New Orleans Saints twice this year, he gets a chance to go up against two other guys, one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, and another guy that made people believe that if he is right and ready coming off that injury last year, the Saints could be a really dangerous team that nobody's talking about in the NFC. You go out there and you raise your level individually and collectively with the Carolina Panthers, and being better than Sam Darnold, maybe even being better than Deshaun Watson in Cleveland, all of a sudden you got something going on there where that next contract, you won't have to beg, borrow, and steal to have that happen if you're Baker Mayfield. So it's going to be very interesting how this is going to work, because Baker Mayfield wants to show everybody or somebody that the Cleveland Browns should not have given up on him, especially when last year he played injured and did not give up on that organization.
And give the schedule maker a raise, because somehow the schedule's already been out. It was made before all this, but their one meeting every 4 years will come on opening day of this year, the Panthers and the Browns. So that could be pretty nuts. I wish it was in Cleveland. It's in Charlotte, but still going to be a whole lot of fun. So, Freddie, thanks so much for doing this and talking about what you do. I know you have so many fans of this station who hear you every night, myself included, and many who hopefully have seen you for the first time over the last week. And if nothing else, enjoyed your role in the incredible Brian Windhorst meme, ramble, whatever. I still don't know what to call it, but I love it.
Put it this way, I tell people all the time, I'm just an average brother that got a blessed break, and as long as that blessing continues, I'm going to keep riding as long as I'm allowed to do something like that, because I know exactly how fortunate I am to be in that position.
The great Freddie Coleman from ESPN Radio. Follow him on Twitter at Coleman ESPN. And if you listen to this radio station between 8 and midnight on most weeknights, again, a little different recently because he's been a summer fill-in for a lot of the folks on some of the midday or early day shows on TV and radio, but 8 to midnight here on 102.5 The Game in Nashville, Freddie Coleman and Ian Fitzsimmons are Freddie and Fitzsimmons, and every time they intro a new hour, they go 4 hours every night unless there's a game going on that overtakes them on ESPN Radio. But every time they start the show, Freddie says, the best show on your radio, Freddie and Fitzsimmons. And I do not disagree. I think it's my favorite national show, period. And I'm not a huge talk radio fan. That's why I'm doing interviews instead of having an opinion and other stuff during this hour. But Freddie is the best. It was great to have him on, and you will hear him on the station quite a bit. And also with our friend Teron Davenport, who fills in on national shows out of ESPN Nashville as well. We'll take a break, come back, and talk to another person who works here, actually. He's a producer with us currently. Scott Meyer was a long snapper, first for Alabama, where he was part of one of their national title teams as the starting long snapper, and then for Vanderbilt as a grad transfer for two seasons. Earlier this summer, Scott was at a rookie minicamp with the Arizona Cardinals. He's 2 years out of college, got a first-time call from an NFL camp. He was there, and we will talk to him about that. You're listening to The Six. My name's Max Herz. This is 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville app.